Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gents, welcome back to the second half then. And this interview then, I want to mention we're at Burley Spa Bath House, which will follow on for an interview later on within this hour. This is Michael Chamberlain. Ladies and gentlemen, I will let the gentleman introduce himself. Still out and about then, Kevin Resley for Sheffield Live. And we're speaking Jesus and God today. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Malcolm Chamberlain. I'm the Archdeacon of Sheffield and Rotherham, and it's been great to be on this kind of mindfulness morning, really. So, yeah.
You seem pretty chuffed with that.
Yeah, I think it's been really good. I mean, the Burley Baths, I didn't even know this was here, really. I've been in Sheffield for 11 years, and it's just lovely that it's come on to a programme of events that we're doing in this part of the Diocese of Sheffield, which is the Church of England's Diocese of Sheffield. And it appeared on the programme, found it on the sat-nav, came down, and you meet a whole bunch of people here, and we've just had a really enjoyable hour walking around the area and just stopping at various points and reflecting on the beauty of God's creation and what that means for us, really.
That's the glory of God, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I think we were in the very first stop, you know, we were reminded that that the God we believe in as Christians is constantly communicating with us. I believe that passionately. Every now and again we tune in, and that's those moments where you think, oh, gosh, God feels really close. But one of the ways God communicates is through this wonderful creation and through nature, and we've seen some of that this morning.
He does indeed. He also communicates through the aeroplane going over, folks. But it is live, so, you know, I'm recording it live. Explain to me what role you hold again and how that sort of was born for you.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm one of two archdeacons in the Diocese of Sheffield. The Diocese of Sheffield, the Church of England Diocese of Sheffield, stretches from Goole in the northeast through Doncaster and Rotherham and down to Sheffield, and we go out just to Worksop on the east side and to a bit of Barnsley on the west side as well. And so the Bishop of Sheffield has kind of oversight, what we call the cure of souls, for the whole of that area. But in the Church of England structures, there's also what's called archdeaconries. In our diocese, we're basically split into two archdeaconries, and it's just administrative units, really. And the archdeacon has oversight under the Bishop of Sheffield, working with the bishop's senior staff for half of the diocese. So my half really is Sheffield, Rotherham, the little bit that goes out towards Worksop on the east side, really. So just under 100 churches, most of whom will have their own clergy, their own ministers, but I'm there to support and to help and to be involved in some of the administrative side of things as well.
So you've got a lot on your plate, to say the old phrase.
Yeah, fairly busy life, yeah, but some really good stuff. And what one of the wonders is we get to kind of travel around and see what it is that God's doing in different contexts and different places, and a joy of worshipping with people in different places every Sunday nearly. And that, you know, so there's wonderful joys. There's always things that are difficult in any role, so sometimes we're dealing with some of the more difficult things, or where people fall out, or where there's complaints. But again, even in the midst of that, you know, we find God at work teaching us how to be better as we seek to serve God and God's people.
Let me take you back to the beginning. When did you realise that this was your calling? This is a message I've got. This is something I have to do.
Yeah, so being ordained as a priest in the Church of England, that went back to kind of when I was in university, that became crystallised for me. But I think it went back before then, though I'd never really thought about being a vicar or being ordained. So I became a Christian. I was brought up in a semi-Christian home where my mum was a Christian, my dad wasn't. I decided to make my own decision to follow Jesus when I was 14, and quite quickly got into sort of leadership roles, junior leadership roles in children's, you know, young youth, and then as I went through school, was at Christian Union and into university, and so in all of those roles there was this sense of God kind of like shaping and preparing me, and it became crystallised at university really, where people were saying to me, do you know, have you ever thought of being ordained in the church, because I've always been in the Church of England, and so I explored that, and the rest, as they say, is history. I never really thought I'd be an archdeacon. I didn't, to be honest, I didn't know what an archdeacon was for quite a lot of time.
Sure, okay, that's honest.
But it just, you know, when I saw this role about 11 years ago, something in it kind of like grabbed me. And the Bishop of Sheffield at the time I knew well. As it happens, I also know Bishop Pete very well. And just the shape of the diocese and what God was doing here really grabbed me. And I thought, oh, okay, we'll give it a go.
It's an interesting way to look at that, and you said you got a message to do this, although initially you it wasn't going to be for you.
No, and I think that's how the Lord works with us, you know. Sure. So God, you know, we're continually being shaped, and so for me, one of the things that really grabs me as a Christian is it's not my little buzzwords, it's not an exam to be passed, you know. Sure. Of course theology is important, of course, but there's always more to learn, because ultimately Christianity is about a relationship with the living God. And so we're in all relationships, we're constantly learning, and that relationship is forming and shaping, and I think that's what God does with us all the way, as we give ourselves to serve and to be followers of Jesus. We're being shaped all the time, and sometimes that leads us into surprising places.
Yes.
That we didn't expect.
Like today.
Like today, perhaps, yeah. Yes.
Are you ever based at more churches than perhaps others, or do you like to see it from an overall point?
Yeah. So my wife and I worship at a particular church, at Greystones Church in Sheffield, and we're part of a little team that kind of went there to bring extra energy from All Saints Church in Ecclesall, down the road. I'm not there very often, because I'm often out and about. And
sure.
I'm in other places, but my wife's very involved there, and I try to get every sort of, well, whenever I can, really. So usually sort of every 5 or 6 weeks I might be there for a service, just simply to be in the pews and to worship with fellow Christians, not necessarily to do anything. So that's our kind of home church, and we know that we're well supported and prayed there.
Let me finish with this one. If you met Jesus, what in the flesh, what would you say?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because in a sense, I know you added in the flesh.
Yes.
I meet with Jesus all the time.
Yes, we do.
And I think, you know, one of the things that I constantly say is, Lord, I love you. Help me to be better
achieve
at loving
this.
You.
Sure.
And to know what that means to love you today. And in the people I meet and in the situations I find myself in. And so I think it'll be the same thing. It'll just be a bit more intense, won't it?
I would say it was a bit more intense.
Yeah,
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
93.2 on the dial end there. Malcolm Chamberlain, and we were at Belly Spa, you know. And great story. So, again, thank you, Malcolm. Back to the music then. It is Sunita from 1987. It's a bit of Toy Boy. Human League, Open Your Heart. We'd start with this one. It's West End Girls. Ladies and gents then, this is Pet Shop Boys. You are listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 on the dial. I am Kevin Resley. Thanks muchly. We'll be right back.
your head, you think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls.
Whispering voices, faces on posters, too many choices. If, when, why, what, how.
Sheffield Live then, and the Golden News with me, Kevin Resley. Many thanks indeed for joining me at that time. I remember seeing Sunita in Roxy's long time ago. Pretty, pretty lady, I tell you that. And it makes me feel old or older. Toy Boy 1987 right there. 70s magic, it is a bit of Smokey O'Carroll. Not that O'Carroll, as in Neil. No, not that one. The Police, it's Roxanne, and we start with Pilot. It's magic. Just like, ho, ho, ho. Oh, please yourself then.
Magic, you know.
That little section off then with Smokey, great tune, Oh Carol, yes indeed. And I do like the one via Neil Sedaka, if I'm honest. Fiona Milne, no relation to A.A. Milne, the famous kids writer. This is Fiona Milne. We are at the Burley Spa Bathhouse, and it is on the 120 bus route. And I live about a mile from there. And this is what Fiona told me this week. I'm with Fiona Milne, friends of Burley Spa. Hi, Fiona, how are you doing?
Pretty good, thank you, yes. Yeah.
Good. Tell me about Burley Spa. Or the people, you know, sadly, of Sheffield don't really know where it is.
Well, it's in deepest, darkest Hackenthorpe. It's a little oasis down a driveway, just off one of the busiest bus routes in Sheffield. It's Sheffield's only Victorian spa bathhouse, quite possibly nationally unique, and it's a hidden treasure.
When you say about the bathhouse, let's talk about that from the off then. I take it there is water in there.
Oh, yes. Yes, not as much as there used to be because the plug failed earlier this year, but there's the stream rises in the building and it flows through constantly. It's 11.3 degrees, should you fancy a dip, although you'd only probably get a toe wet at the moment.
Yes, it's that's a bit cool, isn't it, as we'd say?
Well, there's colder. The pond doesn't freeze because of the temperature of the water leaving the bathhouse.
Yeah.
You can, in a cold day, you can open the door and the room where the plunge pool is foggy. It is warmer than you think. Not to my liking, but there are those out there who love it.
Sure. I'm talking to Fiona Milne, which is works with the... Is it a committee you've got here?
We're kind of a group. We have a committee.
Okay.
We're kind of a support group for each other, wondering why we're still doing this 6 years on, but here we are.
But there you are. You know, it's Friends of Burley Spa, folks. And you talk about the friendship in it and the camaraderie between the group of, I take it, volunteers.
Oh, yes.
So what's the camaraderie between the volunteers that get involved, and what aspects of work do you do, if you like?
We're a group bonded by all manner of things, by a desire to see this building back into use, by a despair that it's been allowed to get how it is. And, you know, it's the old adage of it ain't over till the fat lady sings it. I'm not ready for singing yet.
Okay.
We have great aspirations to bring it back into the use for the community. That's what it's meant to be for. We had the Sleeping Giant installed earlier this year, which, you know, so want to get our younger community involved and engaged with nature. The building, as a usable, functional building, we've got the potential for a learning facility, mental health and wellbeing centre, with a functioning cafe. We can give birth to so many activities that can be done within the grounds, in the building. There's just so much untapped potential here.
When you say untapped potential, is the people ordering the building with you now then? Whether that be, I don't know, off the top of my head, sort of mental health advisors. You say you've got a working cafe.
We haven't got what we could have. This is what we would like to have.
Okay.
As we are, we've got a building that is pretty much derelict. We have no electric, we have no running water other than the stream that rises in the building. So despite that, we put on Heritage Open Days. We've done that for 6 years. We have Halloween events, Christmas, Easter. We do as much as we can. We have volunteer days in the gardens and the grounds. Mm-hmm. We did planting with children earlier in the year. The young people of the area helped us build the body for the giant that's now in the ground, the Stoneface Creative Giant. Earlier today, we had the little boy, Noah, came down to get his prize for choosing the name for the giant. And very pleased he was as well. You know, with a functioning building, the possibilities are endless. But we do an awful lot to say that we've got next to nothing to do it with.
Now, if there is people out there who are willing to help and perhaps can put electrics in, folks, are you out there? Good. With electric and things like that, or maybe able to help contribution financially, or actually help you put electricity into the bathhouse. It'd be a huge task. But could it be possible? Would there be any red tape involved if anybody was to get interested in that?
Round about now, a massive amount of tape, because it's not our building. We are allowed a limited access. We don't have a lease. The building's owned by Sheffield City Council. We are working towards securing a lease. We'd preferred partnership, but a lease is more likely at some point ever, maybe. And at that point, that's when we can start doing things, a lot of which are fairly simple, to at least stop the deterioration while we acquire funds to get the actual building restored. We've had conversations with various big funders at different times, and unfortunately, while ever we are in a kind of no man's land, that's all we can have is
that's the difficult part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of no man's land, I think, is a good description of it. Is Sheffield Council not always renowned for their choice of spending money, but is there any chance of getting any understanding from Sheffield Council to at least, as the term would be, to stop the rot and all the building together?
Fairly unlikely due to lack of funding. The frustration for us is, as with all things, what could have been a simple thing to fix at one point is now not a simple thing to fix.
Yes.
And we don't know when. You know, the biggest trouble for us is what would have cost a small amount of money.
Sure.
Let me ask you this, my final question, Chin. If people want to get involved with Friends of Early Spa, do they have to live in the area or can they pop along?
No. And we're open to anybody. I mean, this is the beauty of the spa is, yes, it's for our community, in Hackenthorpe, but what this site offers is for anybody. You know, I've had emails from people in France curious about it. We've been contacted by somebody who now lives in Australia who grew up in the area, interested to see that it's still here and that there's still an interest in it. We had somebody a couple of years ago who was visiting the Children's Hospital in Sheffield from Essex. And they thought, well, we're going all this way to Sheffield. Where shall we go while we're here? Guess what?
Came here. And my final thing to you, if people can help, can we get an email or a contact number from you, perhaps?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, Facebook group, Fiona. Friends of Burley Spa. My email is fiona.friendsofburleyspa@gmail.com. We're always open to have conversations. Nobody's been here yet who said this place isn't worth it.
Yes. And I just wish you all the best in the future and that it does become more stable than it is. Fiona, many thanks indeed.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Fiona Mill there, ladies and gents, from Friends of Burley Spa. As I say, that's on the 120 route. Do pop up and have a look because it's amazing. It's fed by fresh water down the valley. Do your own work on it first. It's David Guetta, Crazy What Love Can Do. A bit of dancey time. We're back in time then with Chuck Berry and Roll Over Beethoven. Here's one from a beautiful Yorkshire black comedian. The reason I use the word black comedian, because it'll make sense by the lyrics. Ladies and gentlemen, we open with Charlie Williams then, and that's what I should have said. You're listening to Sheffield Live. Thanks much, Lee.
That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. Tum tum tum, da-da-da-da-do. Then us, me and my lass, bumped into an old flame of hers last night. He said he were gonna take her home, and if I didn't like it, we'd fade. Hold on, flower, that's big to me, that's broad as I am tall. But that's in for a bigger pasting, the wallpaper there on wall. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. And I finally did say it too, when I was stood there on my own. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. Cause big time I plucked up courage, pair of them were going. Then as she phoned me up next day, she gave me what for. She said, I've never been so embarrassed, don't call me no more. I said, steady on, Sithy, don't talk to me like that. There's that much wind coming down this phone, it's like he'll be more by tap. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. But she frightens me, that knows, when she gets mad. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. And that knows me, don't that? I'm not a bad lad. So I turned into work later on, head up to teeth and tired. Foreman saw me sat doing note and he bawled at me,
that's fired.
That can take the job and all that's weird, that's no but a little squirt. And as for my ticket, that knows where to stick it, and I don't mean up the shirt. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. But I didn't say no, just in case he put me on blacklist. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. Though I did think what I'd do to him if I were a taxidermist. Well, I got dolled up and I went to the pub, cos I didn't want to stop at a woman. And when I got there, I saw my lass sat crying all alone. Hey, old blossom, don't sit there crying and clutching the bus. Beer sold here is watery enough, and the tears will make it worse. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. But I think I should make it up to her, that knows, before it gets too late. That's what I should have said. That's what I should have said. Yes, I'll take her in my arms and say, eee.
Aren't we all right, flower?
Jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. Caught the rolling off the rider sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another, roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. Tell Tchaikovsky the news. You know she wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven.
By me, made my heart whole. I'd given up on romance, then I found you. Ain't it crazy what love can do? Crazy what love can do. Can someone tell me what is happening to me? You're my oxygen, now I can finally breathe. Didn't care for anyone until it was you. Ain't it crazy what love can do? Crazy what love can do. Da 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 da.
a bit of Up Yonder Then and Down Dale. That was David Guetta. Craxy, as I've written on the script there. But of course we know it's crazy what love can do. Ladies and gentlemen, recently I spoke to a lady called Joanne Gilchrist on a new book, and I'm going to let Joanne explain that book to you right now. Hi, ladies and gents, this is Kevin Resident out and about for Sheffield Live at this time. And I find myself at Woodseats, and we're talking books, but books that are a little bit different. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Joanne Gilchrist. I write children's books, and I run a little local Christian charity called Wurrach Resources.
Well, that's two in one there. But can we talk about the... thanks for joining us, by the way, Joanne. Tell us about the book, if you would, please.
Well, it's part of a series called The Animals of Eden Valley, and there are seven characters in The Animals of Eden Valley. Each one has their own book, and they all have their own question. They're very curious little characters. We've got a lion, an ox, a sheep, an eagle, a dove, and then a boy and a girl. And they've each got their own question. And this latest book is Paul's question, the boy's question. And his question is, why did God make me? And he asked that question because all the other animals of Eden Valley are all playing a game, they're all playing football together, and he wants to join in, but he's not very good at football, and he makes a right fool of himself and gets all embarrassed and feels all sorry for himself and goes off and has a little pity party about wondering where he sort of fits in the world, because he doesn't fit in where he thought he would. And then he gets visited by this little character who in all the books represents God, represents the Holy Spirit, and he's called Ru, which is short for Ruach, same name as my charity name. And he takes him to the Bible, and he opens up the Bible at Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, which is a really, really famous verse. Lots of people know this verse. And talks about, says, God says, I know you, I think about you, I'm making good plans for your future, it's true. For peace, not disaster, and what is your part? To find me by searching with all of your heart. That's my paraphrase of that Bible verse in rhyme for children. And it gives Paul the confidence to go back to the game, join in, try and give it another go. But when he gets there, he finds that it's chaos. It's complete chaos. Roar's been cheating, and the animals have got cross, and Grunt's got a black eye, and they're just, it's chaos. They can't play because they need a peacekeeper, they need a referee, and that's where Paul steps in and finds his place in the game as the one who pulls them all together, and without him they can't play the game. So he finds his place in where it wasn't what he expected, but he does find his place.
It's a very interesting book. And what sort of age group are we looking at for children in this? Where do we want to get with it?
It's a picture book, so typically sure. That's 4 to 8 year olds. Sure. Kids who are in reception, year 1, 2, 3, that kind of age, yeah.
Okay. And so where do you plan to go with this book then, into schools or whatever?
Yeah, I am. I'm doing a little bit of a tour of local schools around Sheffield, Rotherham and Johnfield. I'll read it in assembly or in an RE lesson, and then I've got a little colouring book as well that I'll give every kid a colouring book. They're going to get one of these for free, and then they can use this colouring book to kind of explore their own gifts and talents and what they're good at and how they might use those to help others.
Why did that particular piece that you read out and actually put into the book, why did that appeal to you, and why did you think that it would fit into the book?
To be perfectly honest, I had a different verse in mind that I like, that's a personal favourite, but I just felt that this was the right one to use. I just had a strong sense that it was the right one that I feel that God wanted me to use. And I think it's because it's a really powerful, meaningful verse for a lot of people. A lot of Christians will say that that verse has been a key to them at certain times in their life. It comes in its context. In the Bible, it comes in a really difficult time when people are struggling, when people are feeling disconnected. It's a really dark moment, and this verse is kind of like a light shining into that dark moment in the context of the Bible, and then it actually happens in people's lives as well. It's a verse that it just speaks to people, and it brings light when they're feeling that.
I think it's a lovely verse, to be honest, John. Where can people get this from then? Because, they might want to get it for grandkids at Christmas, Where can this be purchased from?
It's a great book for grandkids. I've heard a lot of grandparents say they've had some great conversations with their grandkids with this book. You can get it on Amazon and other online places. But I would love it if you'd buy it directly from me, because then all the money goes into creating new resources for children. And that would be our website, which is God for Kids App, spelled, all spelt, G-O-D-F-O-R-K-I-D-S, app, A-P-P, .com. Or you can follow us on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram at God for Kids App. And if you buy it direct from me, then all the money goes into the charity, and it just goes to create more resources, digital resources. We have our app, God for Kids App. You can download that in the Google Play Store. We're going to launch a YouTube channel soon. So yeah, if you can get it there, that'd be great. And if you get it there, then you also get the colouring book and some stickers for free. The first 150 books are all going to get some free stickers, which you won't get if you get it from Amazon. And
it's the same price as well. Now, I'm going to ask you to give us where you can get that from again, guys. So last time that Joanne mentioned that, maybe you didn't have a pen, but you can get it directly. And the point that I want to put over to you guys is this. You get it from source and it goes back into source. So just give us that contact again to get the book, if you would.
Okay, www.god4kidsapp.com.
And there we go. From the book, let's talk about the Bible a bit wider afield. Okay. How long have you been associated with the Bible, and how does it come into your work today, if you like?
Well, I remember praying my first prayer to ask Jesus to come into my heart when I was 4 years old, sitting on my mum's bed. So for me, faith's always had a big role in my life, and I've never really wandered very far away from that. And as a teenager, I felt a very strong feeling that I just wanted to give my whole life into, well, serving God, really. And I've spent years just searching for how to do that. You know, I've been overseas with different organisations. I've been to Belgium and New Zealand and Fiji and Philippines. And then for the last 10, 11 years, my place has been Sheffield. And a bit like Paul, I wasn't thrilled about that, to be honest. I love Sheffield, but I liked travelling around the world. And there's something exotic, isn't there, about being a traveller and overseas and all that. But actually, I feel like my place right now is England, and it's Sheffield. And I do love living here. Absolutely love it.
Let's talk about your work outside of the book then. How does that affect or work alongside Christianity? What's the connection between it?
Well, as a mum, I was always really keen to talk about my faith with my children. That's always been my number one priority. Sure. As far as I'm concerned, I don't just want them with me in this life, I want them with me forever. So it's always been a really big priority for me. And I suppose I started writing material for them to help them explore these questions of faith. And then I just wanted to make it available to help other parents and grandparents and carers and teachers and people who want to talk about faith with children and give them room to explore for themselves, but don't have the tools to do it. And I feel like that's a gift God's given me, to write this material that helps other people.
So if people's listening to this now and thought, you know, I might want to get in touch with Joanne, not on the book side, but on the other side, how would that be possible? Because in Christianity, it can be very difficult sometimes, can't it, to initially step into. I found that when I found Christianity, to overstep. If you look down, this is how I've seen it. If I look down, it was a black hole, but then I stepped in, it's the best thing I ever did. And that's a message for you guys as well. So what's the best way that people could get into it, if you like, into Christianity, or want to find out what it really is?
Well, I'm a big fan of the Alpha Course. I've ran many Alpha Courses. About 10, 15 years ago, I ran lots and lots of them. And a lot of the material I write comes out of things I learned during that time. Sure. There's always churches in Sheffield running Alphas. So I'm a really big fan of checking out an Alpha Course, especially my local church, Sparview Community. We run them. That's a great... Come join in and meet me, and I'll say hello to you and make you a cup of tea.
Yeah, thanks for the time today. Just a quick mention on the book again. What's it called and where can we get it from?
Why Did God Make Me by Joanne Gilchrist. You can buy it on Amazon, but if you buy it from me, godforkidsapp.com, then I'll throw in some free stickers for you and a colouring book.
Joanne, many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gents, and thank you for Joanne. And remember, if you get it from source with Joanne, for the first so many, there's a few stickers for the kids, so I'd get in there if I was you. Finish with this one then. Diana Ross, it is a Chain Reaction. You've been smashing. I've been, well, all right, like. And I'll see you next week on 93.2 FM. If you can't get it there, get it on www.sheffieldlive.org. I broadcast on Wednesdays between 3 and 5pm. And, you know, you can go back and listen. Go to Sheffield Live, look up shows, look for Walk a Mile and press the appropriate button for the appropriate time. Till next week then, take care of yourselves. Ta-ra then.